life is about relationships. We all have some kind of relationship with each other through the church. And we have a relationship with God through our faith in Him. We have a relationship with the people where we work. We have a relationship with people where we shop. Life is about relationships. One of the important things we understand about relationships is that relationships never stay the same. They are always changing. They are either getting deeper and stronger, or they are getting more shallow and weaker. And that can be true for our marriage. It can be true for our friendships. It can be true for our church relationships. And it is certainly true about our relationship with God. Our relationship with God can either be growing stronger or getting weaker. And it's important that we evaluate our relationship with God to know where we are in that process of moving between weakness and strength. What I would like for us to do today is look at John chapter 21. It is a passage of Scripture that describes the relationship between Simon Peter and the risen Christ. And you know the story about Peter's life. And we're going to refresh our memory about that today as we think about this issue of our relationship with God. Peter had been strong in the Lord as a disciple of the Lord, but then toward the end, as Jesus was arrested and on trial, his relationship with Jesus got broken. Peter drifted away for various reasons from the Lord. And then at the end of our passage of Scripture that you have just read, you see how Jesus heals that broken relationship. And so I want us to not only see it as an experience that happened then, but I hope that you will think about your own relationship with Jesus Christ. How strong is it? Or how weak is it? And what is there in your life that is needed in order to be strong in Him? We all need to experience God's restoring grace. There are times when we drift in our faith, when our faith might grow shallow, and we always need God's grace to come back to Him. In Lamentations 5:21, you read these words, "Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we might return. Renew us as our days of old." So I think all of us want to be close to the Lord. And if we have drifted from Him, or if we have not yet trusted in Him, then today we need to understand what might cause our relationship to grow weak, and then how can that relationship with the Lord be made strong again. First, let's look at four causes that lead to our weakening of our relationship with the Lord. What can cause us to grow distant, as Simon Peter did? First, we can become overconfident. You might think, I'm strong in my faith, I'm strong in my prayers, I worship all the time, I don't have any problems, I am good. Everything is all right between me and the Lord. And if you get proud about that, if you become overconfident about that, then you could well be on the way toward a weakening of your relationship in the Lord. Sports teams can sometimes get too confident. And when they become too confident, they often do what? They often lose the next game. Students can become too confident in their classes. They might think, I know all this. Then the test day comes and you might not do so well because you have become overconfident. We might think, I will never fail my Lord. And when you feel like you've got it all together spiritually, be careful, because it could lead to a weakening of your relationship in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, "So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Proverbs 16, 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." The problem of overconfidence is evident in Simon Peter's life. In Matthew 26, we read about Jesus meeting with his disciples in the upper room. And Jesus predicted that one of his disciples would betray him. And then Peter speaks up and says, "Lord, others may deny you, others may fall away, but I will never do that to you, Lord." Peter had become overconfident, because we know what happened. He denied his Lord, didn't he? How many times?
Three times.
He had become overconfident. A second cause of a weakening of our relationship with the Lord God is that we can grow weary and suffer fatigue. You probably are trying to do too much in your life. We often get overcommitted, don't we? Our schedule gets full. We feel like we have to answer every phone call. We have to respond to every request. We feel like we have to fill our day with all kinds of activity. And then we get tired, don't we? We get weary. Fatigue sets in. And it's important for us to understand when that happens, we could be endangering our faith as well. Do you remember when Jesus met with his closest disciples, including Simon Peter, in the Garden of Gethsemane? After that time with the disciples in the upper room, just before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to do what? To pray. And he took his disciples with him because he wanted their companionship and he wanted them to pray for him. It was an awful night for our Lord Jesus. He was facing a torturous, painful death. And he needed to pray. And he needed the support of those who were closest to him. And what did those disciples do? They fell asleep. They were so tired. And then, was it just one time? No. They fell asleep multiple times. Jesus would go away to pray, and he'd come back, and he'd find them sleeping. And he said to them, "Could you not pray with me? Could you not be here for me?" They were tired. They were overcommitted. Fatigue had set in, and it affected their relationship with the Lord Jesus. And you know what Jesus said to them that night in the Garden of Gethsemane? It's found in Matthew 26, verse 41. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." There's a third reason why our relationship with the Lord might grow weaker. We might drift from him and shallow our faith, and that is our commitment to the Lord might be shallow. We might suffer from a shallow commitment to Jesus Christ. This is evident in Simon Peter's life. If you look in Mark 14, verse 54, the scripture tells us that Jesus had been arrested. He was being taken to the authorities to be put on trial. And the scripture says that Simon Peter followed Jesus at a distance. At a distance. Peter was not wanting to get really close to Jesus. He didn't want to be identified as a close, loyal follower of Christ because he might fear that the cross would come to him as well. And so Peter followed Jesus at a distance. Is that happening in your life? Maybe you were really close to Christ at one time, but now maybe you're following him at a distance. Maybe things are not as close between you and the Lord as they used to be. And it's very important for us to deepen our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a fourth reason why our faith might grow weak and why we might drift from the Lord. And that is, we prefer convenience and comfort. Almost all of us prefer comfort over sacrifice, don't we? We want life to be easy. Many people love to eat and watch TV, but how many people love to go to the health club and walk 5 miles? Not very many. Because we prefer convenience and comfort. Luke 22:55 tells us that night when Jesus was on trial, through that awful night, what did Peter do? Peter stayed at a distance from where Jesus was, and he joined the Roman soldiers at the campfire that evening and warmed his hands at the campfire of the enemy. Why? He wanted to be safe. He wanted to be warm. He didn't want to have anything to do with crucifixion or the trials or the dangers that Jesus faced. And because he chose that over close fellowship with Jesus, he ended up denying his Lord 3 times, just as Jesus had predicted. Well, how does God respond to us when we allow our faith relationship to grow weak or distant from him? Does he get angry? Does he give up on us? No. He loves us. And if you look in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, you will read the words, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That's grace. We might deserve anger and judgment, but God chooses to love us and give us his compassion, his mercy. Now, there are consequences to our shallow commitment or our drifting from the Lord, but there is no condemnation. So I'd like for us now to understand God's restoring grace by looking at some ways that God does not reject us. And I've listed 4 ways that God, or reasons that God does not reject us. Even when we grow distant, or when our relationship with him is shallow and we don't do anything about it, God still loves us. Let's look at these 4. God doesn't reject us because his love is unconditional. In other words, we don't have to do something in order to earn God's love. We don't have to be good enough to earn God's love. We don't have to try to pay enough to earn God's love. God doesn't say, "I love you if." He doesn't say, "I love you because." He says, "I love you." Period. His love is real and constant and will not change. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 says this: "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Great is God's faithfulness to us. His compassions never fail. What is compassion? It is love. It is grace-filled love for all of us. And that will not fail. It will never change. Number 2, God doesn't reject you because your salvation isn't based upon performance. We don't have to know the Bible cover to cover. We don't have to be able to explain every deep theological thought that you find in God's Word. We don't have to be super Christians. God is not judging us by our performance. Remember that. In Romans 9:16, these words are found. God's compassion doesn't depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. God's compassion depends upon God's mercy. You can't earn or buy or work your way into heaven. You go to heaven by God's grace. None of us are good enough to go to heaven, but He loves us with His grace, His undeserved love. Titus 3:5 says it this way. He saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. Praise God. Number three, God doesn't reject us because Jesus has already taken our punishment at the cross. Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and me. We all need that. We cannot earn it or merit it. We cannot buy it. God gives it as a gift. He offers us salvation through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross, who took care of all of our needs, our eternal needs, as He stretched out His arm on the cross. And He said those words, "It is finished." It's finished. It's paid in full. He took our place. He paid our debt. We are free, and we have joy for eternity because of what He has done for us. Praise God. God doesn't reject us because He's taken our place at the cross. Fourth, God doesn't reject us because He understands our human weaknesses. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." He understands our weaknesses. If you've been struggling in your faith, He understands that. If you have allowed your faith to slip, if there have been some drifting away from the Lord in your life, He understands that. If you've been tempted strongly and sometimes you have yielded to that temptation, He understands that. He doesn't approve that. And He always calls us to confess our sins, but He's always ready for us to come back to Him and to experience His unfailing compassion and mercy and grace. Our Lord knows what you're going through. He is with you and He loves you. So the good news is, no matter if you have rejected the Lord like Simon Peter did, or how far you've drifted from Him, He loves you and He invites you to return to Him, to deeper faith and renewed commitment. And that, I think, is what we all want. It's what we all need, a deeper relationship with God in Christ. This problem of drifting from the Lord has been a part of the human story from the very beginning. In the Old Testament, you probably have read many times about how the Israelites at one time were faithful to God and the relationship was strong and real, but then they allowed their faith to get mixed with pagan faiths of the world. They allowed their lives to be caught up in the sensuality and sins of the culture in which they lived, and it broke God's heart. And He saw His people drifting from Him. And the prophets God called were calling the nation back to repentance. Come back to the Lord. Realize the weakness of your relationship with Him and come back to Him. Jeremiah, the prophet, in Jeremiah 3:22 says, "Return, faithless people. I will cure you of being unfaithful." Jeremiah 15:19 says, "If you repent, I will restore you so that you may serve me." Isaiah, the prophet, said in Isaiah 1:18, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as what? Snow." What a change God brings in our life. Isaiah also wrote in Isaiah 54:7, "With deep compassion, I will bring you back." And so, we return to the story of Simon Peter. We have seen how he rejected his Lord, how he allowed his life to distance itself from the Lord, but then the Lord began to draw him back through that never-ending compassion for him. Remember what the Lord, the risen Christ, said to Simon Peter that we read there in John 21. Notice in John 21, verses 15 through 19, how much the Lord loved Simon Peter, even though Simon Peter had broken Jesus' heart, had failed Jesus at a time when he needed him the most. How Simon Peter had denied his Lord three times. Notice what Jesus says to him in John 21, verses 15 through 19. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Jesus again said, Simon Peter, do you love me? And Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Three times, Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. And three times, Peter said, Lord, I really do love you. I really do. Jesus gave Peter three times to affirm what he had denied three times. That is grace. That is personalized mercy. Jesus did not give up on Peter, and he's not giving up on you and me. And aren't we glad? That's grace. And this morning, the risen Christ, by his Holy Spirit, is here in this room. And he is saying to you and to me, do you love me? Do you really love me? And if you do, serve. Serve in my name. Feed my sheep. By that, Jesus was saying, take care of the people around you. Reach out to people around you and share with them that there is hope and salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a church family, reach out to the community and embrace the community and let them know how much you love them because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. So what Jesus was offering Peter is restoring grace, an opportunity to return, to come back in a deeper relationship. And if you read the book of Acts, you will see that Simon Peter responded, no longer denying Jesus, no longer drifting away from him. But if you read the first few chapters of the book of Acts, you will see Simon Peter standing and boldly proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. And thousands of people came to faith in Christ because of Peter's preaching. Praise God that Jesus didn't give up on him and used him in a powerful way to spread the gospel throughout the world. That's what the Lord Jesus wants to do through you and me. He's not going to give up on you. He loves you. And he's offering you his restoring grace. Praise God. Would you pray with me right now? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and for the depth of your love for us through him. Thank you, Father, that he was willing to go to the cross for each of us that our sins might be forgiven, that we might have eternal life as we confess those sins and repent of them. And thank you, Father, that no matter how far we might drift from you, or even if we reject you, or if we have yet not trusted in you, Father, I just pray that you will continue to speak your words to us, your words of grace, your restoring grace, that you are inviting us to return, to have a deep and meaningful relationship with you by faith. I pray for each person here, Lord, that they might return to you today. And they might really say to you what Simon Peter said to you a long time ago. Yes, Lord, I love you. I really love you. Father, may that be our response to you. May we, by our lips and by our lives, proclaim that we love you. And we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray.